Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to the Conspiracy Files. I told you that there was a district attorney in the United States who had enough nerve to actually indict the vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney, and also the former attorney general, Alberto Gonzalez. Well, it happened. And we have the district attorney on the line ready to talk to us. They had quite a day down in Raymondville, Texas. That's in South Texas. And the district attorney, Juan Angel Guerrero, is here with us. And we'll be talking to Mr. Guerrero in a moment about what happened today in the courtroom of District Judge J. Manuel Benales. It was quite a day, as you will hear. The indictments returned on Monday not only indicted Vice President Dick Cheney and Alberto Gonzalez, but also a state senator there in Texas, several other state and local officials, including other judges, and a corporation. Originally known as the Wacken Hut Company, it's now the GEO Corporation, and they make millions, according to the district attorney, off of the taxpayers and out of the prison system. Well, I tell you, the best thing to do is go ahead and talk to the district attorney here. Mr. Guerrero, how are you? You've had quite a day.
Yeah, I was a little bit busy.
Can we just start out and tell the listeners what happened today? First of all, you showed up with a motion to remove the judge, right?
A motion to recuse him. This individual just got indicted on Monday. By the following day, he had already supposedly had some sort of hearing, where the following day all these attorneys, about 20 of them, had already filed all sorts of motions. And as far as I've learned later, that apparently he had set them up for Tuesday or Wednesday, and he wanted for me to hear on the motions to dismiss the indictment. That's uncalled for. First of all, to act that quickly, and usually as prosecutors, you know, we indict people, and they said the arraignment and the pretrial motions for the following month. I mean, we have a long docket. I'm going to start a murder case on Monday, so that it appeared that this judge was just trying to bully me into ambush in the state so that the charges could be dismissed. So he reset the case for today, Friday, and again he only gave me 48-hour notice. So it was very clear that this judge was just trying to push this thing through to get rid of it and move forward. The bottom line being that we had him just had him recused, and that because it's a fifth administrative judge, this recusal will bump this thing up all the way to the Texas Supreme Court. So justice at the Supreme Court will make a decision as to who they're going to appoint to hear the case.
Well, you indicted quite a few people here besides the former Attorney General Gonzalez and Vice President Cheney and a prominent state senator down there in Texas and a local judge or two. How long was this grand jury in session?
It started in July and it will finish next month. We have grand juries in panel every 6 months, from January to June, July.
Now, when you were indicting a sitting vice president and a former attorney general, I'm sure you knew there would be a lot of ramifications of this case. But looking at it from a distance here, it looks like you're getting a lot of heat from the local angle. I mean, you've indicted some judges and a state senator. Is that right? Am I reading that right?
No. This investigation, I didn't start it just today. I started back 2001 when the first death happened in one of the private prisons here in my county, and I didn't know that much about private prisons. I think that the public in general doesn't know that we now have public prisons that are making money on the detaining of our prisoners. So the government pays them $80 per day for every inmate they have. So they have an incentive to continue having more prisoners, because the longer they're there, the more money they make. And the less money they spend on each prisoner, the more money they make. And so that this, I started since 01 investigating this thing. I also started investigating the corruption. So this is not, you know, investigation that I just started.
We've done several shows on the possibility of corruption with this privatization in the jail system, state, local, and federal. I take it you think you have a pretty strong case.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Every case, elected official, high official that I've gone after, and I mean, it's not my hobby of doing it. It just happens that, I mean, I'm going to go, I don't have, you know, against the current or whatever you want to call it, but nobody's above the law. Just recently, in the last 8 months, I indicted the county judge, the sitting county judge, for sexually assaulting his secretary. Said that or be thought that it was a secretary that was making him up. He was a good friend of mine, but my gut feeling was telling me that this young lady was not making this story up. And I went ahead and indicted him, and they made all sorts of remarks. I'm sure that also had with me losing the election. But I went forward, and we went ahead and moved the case out of the county, and ended up the case brought in a special prosecutor, and the judge was ended up getting convicted. So, you know, we're not going to go, myself, I'm not going to go in there and indict individuals that I don't think I have the proof to do it. So in this case, especially, you know, the vice president.
Seems like there's already been a lot of disinformation in this case. I mean, we have reports out here that were unconfirmed, naturally, because they weren't true, that you were missing, that you had gone to Mexico, had disappeared, and that you were in protective custody at one time. The Texas Rangers were looking for you. I don't guess any of that was true.
Well, yeah, the judge was looking for me, and he was trying to get the Texas Rangers, but there was no hearing. The individuals got indicted on Monday, and he wanted for me to appear in court and start hearing cases, I mean, hearing the motions, defendants' motions. And so he was, the media and the judge were making all this. I was not even in town. I mean, he just, you know, decided that he wanted to hear it immediately. And so
the thing about the special prosecutor the judge appointed on Wednesday? I mean, is he a buddy of the judge or a rival of yours or what?
Back then when I got investigated, or when are you talking about? A special prosecutor for, I'm not sure what. Back when I got indicted, they brought in a special prosecutor to investigate me. But the special prosecutor, that's what makes it very clear what is the motive is. The special prosecutor back then, 2 years ago, used to work under the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District, working under the Bush-Cheney administration. And so that 6 years later, that's when we started the investigation. And I handed the investigation over to the FBI. The FBI went after the small potatoes, then dropped the investigation, and that's when all my trouble started 2 years ago. The bottom line is that Mossbacher, who ended up indicting me 2 years ago, was the same person that was working under the Cheney administration, Bush Cheney, so that there was a direct connection there, especially when my case got dismissed. So he ended up getting indicted as well.
I noticed a local newspaper down there reported that you brought all the files to the judge today. The judge wanted the files on this grand jury?
No, I didn't turn over the files. I kept my files.
Oh, then you still have
them. Well, I brought them to court, not because I was wanting to show the judge and the witness, I mean, the audience or the people there, the public, that the grand jury, you know, they just didn't, you know, looked at a newspaper and said, you know what, let's indict Mr. Cheney. I mean, we had a lot of information. We had witnesses from throughout the country. We had experts in different areas. And so that we just kept, you know, when I start an investigation, I don't look at who's involved with regard to the individual. I just have, what do they call, blinders and just, you know, move forward. If it doesn't matter who the target is, we just move forward, and it appears that the money kept on going higher and higher, and ended up over there indicated Mr. Cheney.
If they appoint another judge, as you ask in your motion, do you have any idea who that might be?
Well, the Texas Supreme Court would ended up the one that would make a decision. The Supreme Court justice would be the one. the bottom line, my main concern is that the private prison business is really out of control, and the public is not aware as to what is going on. Our government is now contracting out the holding of these prisoners, and so that the death rate, for instance, the death rate in the private prison business is 5 times higher than of prisons run by our government, and so that because you have an incentive to make money, and so the security and welfare of the individuals inside the prisons is not a priority, and so that while the rest of the country might be hurting, the private prison business is booming. For example, the Geo Group, which is one of the biggest private prison companies, reported $500 million up to August. But the problem that you have also is that a lot of elected officials are now embedded in the business of private prisons. Like, for example, my senator here, Eddie Lucio, is working for a consultant, getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And my neighbor over here, Senator Zaffirini, she's a senator, but her husband works as an attorney for the Geo prison, private prison, getting paid, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this, what we found was the same situation all over the country, that we have a lot of elected officials that are embedded in the private prison business. And so these are the people that need to keep, that are supposed to be keeping an eye on in our prisoners as to what is happening behind those walls. And so they're looking the other way because they have a financial interest. And this was not just limited to Texas. For example, in Pennsylvania, a guy by the name of John Purcell, he is the Speaker of the House, but he's also the chair on the Geo Group. He sits on the board of the Geo Group. So there's a total conflict that everybody seems to think that it is part of making business. So in the case of our vice president, he has investment in the Vanguard Group, which is the only company that has majority stock, holding stocks in all three of the biggest private prisons in the United States, which is Geo, CCA, and Carnell. So that then you look at Vanguard, and that's where Cheney has some side money, where he is making money out of the Vanguard Group. And Cheney, of course, has a lot of exerts a lot of pressure or a lot of influence in ICE and Homeland Security. They decide how much money they're going to pay to all these three companies, how much money they're going to pay per inmate. So that it used to be $54 per inmate. That was increased to $80. Now they're talking of paying $120 per inmate. So while these companies are making billions of dollars, Vanguard makes that money, so it comes back and changes. So the more money Cheney allows ICE and the Homeland Security, the more money that eventually he makes. Now the problem with Mr. Cheney is that this investment is not part of the blind trust. The blind trust, he has no control over that. This one is a side money, meaning that he reports this on his income tax return. This is money that he has like pocket change that he decides what he wants to do with it. It is not part of the blind trust. So the blind trust, if this was part of the blind trust, and then he would be protected because he would not know where the money is invested. This appears in his income tax return, which in turn makes it that he knows about what his finances are with regard to the prison. That's what the problem that we have here.
Okay, we talked about Vice President Cheney. How about Alberto Gonzalez? What was his indictment about? I understand that he blocked your investigation all along. You've been investigating for some time here, and when he was in office as Attorney General, he did everything he could to delay or stop your investigation or something like that. Is that right?
Yes. What we found is that the organization of engaging in organized crime, which is similar to the RICO in the federal statute, basically you have to have the element where it's a business, but it's being protected, and that business is basically, there's a lot of illegality, criminal activity going on. So in this case, you have the vice president making the money. The criminal wrongdoing is in the private prisons, which is, they were indicted also for allowing murder to take place in their facilities without taking the necessary steps to keep people from dying inside the private prisons. Then you have, that's the two elements there. So you have the corporations making this, this money at the expense of committing a criminal act, which is the death that they were indicted with. Then you have the top guy, which is the vice president, where Mr. Gonzalez comes in, is that he's the enforcer. He is the one that makes sure that this business continues, that nobody messes with it. He's the protector, protects the business. So anybody that gets involved, he's the one to make it sure that it continues moving forward. So what we found is that in type of investigation dealing with private prisons, the attorney generals were basically, when it got a little bit too hot, they dropped the investigation. So apparently they were being put pressure from above to back off from that type of investigation. So that this investigation here, when it got started, went over to the FBI. When it got a little bit higher up the ladder, it was just dropped. And my foot soldiers at the local level, those FBI, were very, very upset or disappointed that they were not allowed to continue this investigation. They knew that there was more higher ops involved, but they were ordered to back off. That's where Gonzalez comes in. So you have the three elements of engagement in organized crime.
Mr. Guerra, the wheels of justice turn slow, and your term is up in 6 weeks. Who's going to take the case after you?
I don't know. The other DA could continue it, or they could put a special prosecutor, or the other DA could go ahead and ask me to...
What would you like to see happen?
I just want the investigation to continue. I think that one of the biggest, at least my most interesting or most important thing that I wanted was that the public is made aware of the deaths that are happening in the private prison. And I think that that is coming to light because of what the grand jury did. So with regard to how it could be handled, I personally would love to prosecute
this. Then theoretically, the judge could appoint you as the special prosecutor.
Yes, that would be the logical thing to do, since nobody knows more about this case than I do. For example, I indicted, along with all this, I indicted my state senator. Well, today, according to his lawyers and what they told the media, and it's in print, was that they wanted for me to prosecute them, to prosecute the senator, so that they could see how ridiculous this thing is. So I went ahead and took him up on the offer.
I noticed in court today, you said you'd be ready for trial by December 8th.
I'm ready. They're the ones that said that they wanted for me to move this case, and that they will be ready to prosecute this, to defend this case. So I said, okay, let's do it on December the 8th. I'll select the jury, and let's go and take care of you. Come on. I have solid case on all of this, these individuals, including the vice president. How this thing is going to turn out at the end, I don't know. If Senator Eddie Lucio, we move forward, I know he'll get convicted. Maybe that'll send a message to the rest of the defendants, that be careful, of what you wish for.
Now, earlier in the interview, you mentioned the fact that not only fraud is going on here with this private prison system, but also murder. Is that right?
Yeah, the lack of security inside the prisons. There's not enough guards. Also, medical attention. There's a lot of deaths that are happening because they're not giving and providing their medical needs.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. In other words, they cut corners on costs to save money. Then they don't have the proper security, so at least it's negligent homicide.
Exactly. Also, the nutrition, they're not being fed properly. I mean, we find cases where the before and after picture is, you look at it, you just are horrified by what you see with regard to some of the prisoners that are not being fed properly. And so remember, they have an incentive not to expend money. That's the problem. Their fiduciary duty is not to the prisoners. It's to make a profit. And that's where you're running into a problem. Now, there's some states, like, for instance, Michigan, where an individual, where the GEO Group started to get into the private prison business over there. and a group started to protest and were able successfully to shut him down. So the group there has managed to keep private prisons from being started over there in Michigan. So I'm hoping that the rest of the states will follow suit with Michigan and eventually get rid of all this prisons for profit. This is not the way to go.
There was a story floating around that you were in protective custody. The Texas Rangers grabbed you. Is that true?
No, that's not true. I wasn't.
Well, speaking of Texas Rangers, the judge was escorted by Texas Rangers this morning. What's that about?
You know, he's one of those judges that, you know, those kind of show off his type of judges, you know, hanging around with a ranger. I mean, I don't know. My guess is that makes
sense. I noticed the Herald had a picture of you outside with some Texas Rangers in the background, but I guess all of you were on a break, right?
Yeah, I was just on a break, and there was the court was surrounded by, you know, a lot of guards. I'm not sure. Well, we're going to wait for the Texas Supreme Court to see if, you know, who they're going to appoint. I know that this news is, you know, moving forward with regard to making it national, and I'm asking, you know, your audience and your listeners out there that they need to take a stand against private prisons. This lucrative business needs to come to put a stop to it. And so any type of...
I notice in the indictment list there you're going after several judges as well.
Yeah, two district judges that were also involved in...
you're going to run out of judges.
Well, that's the problem, Judge, that one does it, and so the other people then just start deciding, well, if they do it, I guess it's okay. And so that's the problem that, you know, that we're facing, not only here, but it's all over the country. We had a couple of legislators that you know, came and complained that it was happening also in their state, because the private prison business has to basically taken over a lot of the elected officials, and so that this type of business is just a very very profitable, but at the same time at the expense of the life and care of a lot of our inmates. So, I mean, it's not only here in the Valley, it's all over the country.
Yeah, I am aware of the problems with the privatization of prisons. We've done several shows on that over the years. At least you're doing something about it. I guess the best scenario for you would be if you became the special prosecutor.
Yeah, that would be what I would love to do. I mean, I would like to go ahead and handle all the cases. I think that I get a conviction on all of them. And I know I can, because I know that I have the evidence.
Well, you're dealing with a lot of defendants here who are politically connected. What if the judge quashes the indictments? Does a prosecutor have any alternative?
Well, that's the end of the case. I mean, no other prosecutors are going to do this type of work, because it's political suicide. I mean, other prosecutors I've known, I've been at it for 14 years as district attorney, and I know a lot of prosecutors, and they tell me, you know, I know that, you know, this is happening in my county, but I'm not going to do anything, because I'm, you know, it's politically suicide. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, so I'm not going to do it. So the pressure is mounts on the prosecutors. You know what happened to the 8 U.S. attorneys that got fired. I mean, they got fired for doing the right thing. By Attorney Gonzalez, U.S. Attorney Gonzalez. So we're under tremendous pressure to think twice before we go after someone that is politically connected, because we might end up getting, in my case, losing the election, which is what happened in this case. But I'm not surprised, because back in 1991, when I was appointed district attorney, I went after some corrupted official as well, and they were all convicted. But, of course, I lost the election.
The DA's office down there is a four-year term, right? You don't sound like you really think anything's going to happen by Wednesday, even. I mean, so Wednesday's not official as the arraignment date now, the day before Thanksgiving.
The judge that was recused in this case, Judge Bañales, he doesn't have any authority to even set it up right. So said, you know, kind of be on standby on Wednesday to see if the justice will go ahead and decide to send a judge down here.
In other words, Mr. Guerra. This is a pretty fluid situation. You're playing it day by day?
And of course, the investigation continues. We're trying to look at the money trail, and so with regard to the corporations themselves. So the individuals that the elected official, like in this case our Senator Eddie Lucio, he's indicted for taking money from these companies. The opposite also works, in that the companies that gave the money to our senator are just as guilty. So we're moving forward with trying to find, you know, where this continues to go.
How about your personal safety? Are you do you fear that you are in danger in any way, physical harm?
Well, if I worry about that, you know, then you know I have no business being a prosecutor.
So you're not worried about the judge taking you off the case?
No, he does not have that authority. We had already gone through this before when they took two other cases away from me. Just because that other persons were supposedly too close, they were friends of mine or something, and they took the cases away from me. That judge did not have that authority, and they got reversed, and the case remained with me. So judges don't have authority to just simply say, you know what, I'm just going to take this case from you because I feel this and this and that. That's not the way it works, you know. And if that's the case, the state doesn't have to be there. No, they wanted me there because he wanted to have arguments with regard to the motions to dismiss the case. He wanted for me to argue those motions. I mean, sometimes we arraign people and the state is not present, so they waive arraignment, and they have the paperwork there where they'll sign and say, do you waive arraignment? And if they say yes, and then they sign the paperwork. If they say no, and then they will set them for a particular time and place, and then I will have to be present. But if they waive arraignment, I don't have to be present. And so I'm not sure why the judge felt that I needed to be there. No, just like I said, the public out there is to, now that they get educated as to what is happening with the private prison, is that they need to be alert as to what's going on. More people are being incarcerated because it's a business. When the private prison business started really getting strong about 10 years ago, we used to have like 1 in 400 people were in custody or in jail here in the United States. Then they dropped to 1 in 200. Right now it's 1 in 120. And so that there's an incentive to keep on putting people behind bars until it gets so close that it's... But it's going to say, wait a minute, this is too close for comfort. So don't wait until that happens. We need to put a stop to this thing now.
Thank you very much, sir, and we'll check back with you.
No problem.
Thank you.